little upbeat.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It's the Morning Open. A look at the economy as trading gets started today. Let's ask that question, where's Wall Street? Markets are mixed right now. We have the Dow up about 0.2%, up 15 points at 98.06. And the S&P 500 up as well, but the NASDAQ is down about 0.1%. And in Europe, shares are higher right now for the most part, under 0.5%. In Asia, stocks rose across the board. New housing starts and permits rose last month to their highest level in 9 months. Also, the number of people filing for unemployment fell last week. We're going to talk about it this morning with Julie Neiman, analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live from St. Louis. Hi, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So housing construction is up, and it looks like job cuts are easing. Are you convinced things are getting better?
Well, look at housing starts, though. It's mostly in apartments. It looks like the bloom may be off the rose somewhat in home ownership as people realize not everybody can afford to live in a house. Big thing in the housing in apartments. On unemployment, though, jobs claims falling by a little percentage there. That's a positive thing. But continuing claims continue to increase. And what does that mean? Well, unemployment's still rising, but not as fast. Finding a new job is still really hard. Companies are not hiring, and new jobs, which are typically created by small and medium businesses, are not being created at any kind of meaningful rate.
There's still plenty of debate, Julie, about who or what is to blame for all the economic ills. I mean, today a congressional panel starts to look into that. And I want you to hang on the line for a minute. We're going to bring in Marketplace's Amy Scott. She's joining us live from our bureau in New York. Morning, Amy.
Hi there.
Who is on this panel that we're talking about, and what are they looking for?
Well, it's a bipartisan group of various former politicians and public officials, 6 members appointed by Democrats and only 4 chosen by Republicans. They've got a $5 million budget and subpoena power, and they're going to look at everything from the credit rating agencies to executive compensation to try to understand the roots of this financial crisis and how we can avoid such a thing in the future.
Who are there any concerns out there about how effective this panel can be in getting some answers?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, one critic I talked to worries that the group is too politicized. For example, there are former lawmakers who may not want to look too hard at Congress's role in the crisis, and a former member of George W. Bush's economic team is on the panel. She's concerned there may be, this critic is concerned there may be some temptation to deflect blame and not dig as deep as some people might like. Also, the report by the group is due out in December of next year, and by then, the Obama administration hopes to have its reforms in place, so some think it might be a little too late.
All right. Julie, in your mind, what can this panel tell us that, I don't know, that we haven't heard already?
That's pretty much it. We survived 7 months of terror, and the industry basically just wants to go back to business as usual. What we all agree has to be done, you have to force the banks to increase their capital base. They don't have adequate reserves. You need more cops on the beat. You need to merge all of these various agencies into one agency with standard lending, and you have to restrict the banks from moving into risky trading operations. Very simple things that need to take effect now, not a year from now.
All right. Julie Neiman, many thanks to you. We do appreciate it.
You bet.
And Marketplace's Amy Scott joining us from New York. Thanks to you as well.
You're welcome.
All right. The Obama administration said today it's nixing a good chunk of a multi-billion dollar European missile defense plan. It's been a major sticking point with Russia. The decision comes as the United States seeks closer ties with Moscow.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. By Monsanto, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields without increasing demands on natural resources. More at ProduceMoreConserveMore.com. And by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
President Obama continues to put health care front and center with a speech and rally at the University of Maryland today. And all of this week, we've been exploring stakeholders in the health care debate. In the latest part of our series called The Cure, we look at hospitals today and how possible changes could affect them. Joel Rose reports.
It's a fairly quiet morning in the emergency room at Temple University Hospital in North Philadelphia.
Yeah, nobody knows anything about the patient coming to us.
Temple is what's known as a safety net hospital. Roughly 80% of its patients are covered by Medicaid or Medicare. Because safety net hospitals see so many low-income patients, they currently get extra funding from the government, money that could dry up if proposed Medicare and Medicaid cuts become reality under health care reform, says Temple Hospital CEO Sandy Gomber.
What makes this debate the toughest that we faced in a really long time is that there is no easy consensus that's going to make this work. There will be winners and there will be losers.
Gomberg says safety net hospitals like hers stand to lose more than most. The White House plans to trim $155 billion in Medicare and Medicaid payments to hospitals. That's supposed to help cover the cost of insuring nearly all Americans. In theory, hospitals would win because more patients could pay their bills. But the most vulnerable hospitals could lose, says Andrew Wigglesworth, a hospital consultant with TRG Associates.
Operating margins are razor thin. If there were cuts without the corresponding increases in terms of access and coverage, it would create a disaster.
That's what worries Temple's Sandy Gomberg. Many of her patients are undocumented immigrants or the working poor. Gomberg says they may have trouble finding affordable insurance even if Congress does pass a health care bill, and her hospital will still need to treat them. So without some additional money, Gomberg says she'd have no choice but to cut services and staff.
The waiting line's going to get longer. It'll be longer for people to get to specialists. It's going to be longer for people to wait to get in to see the doctor in the ER.
If that happens, Gomberg says her patients will be the real losers. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
All right, every so often we have to check in with the I Want to Get Caught file. A woman in Pennsylvania called police to say someone broke into her house. A couple of expensive rings had been stolen, and the suspect had been browsing the web on her computer, checking his Facebook page. Want to guess what 19-year-old Jonathan Parker's status is? In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.